It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Rico! Breaking news, Bronya! The New York Mets added the stick. The New York Mets needed to add a stick. They needed to add a bat. They needed to give Pete Alonso the protection. And on a Thursday night in the middle of March, on a very unique sports day that featured day one of the NCAA tournament, that featured a potential Shohei Ohtani gambling scandal, that featured the New York Met fans witnessing a blown call that we may witness throughout the season. More on that maybe later. The New York Mets made an exclamation point move as they have signed J.D. Martinez to a one-year, $12 million contract. Now, we record this pod, I would say, within 5 minutes of getting the news. So this is probably the most instant of instant reactions we've ever done on the Rico. And I'll walk you through how I found out. It was very unique. I was in the shower getting my beard clean because I do paint my beard every single day. That'll be finishing up on Friday. And sometimes I check my phone while I'm in the shower. I don't know if that's a weird habit, but it's something I do. And I saw a tweet from John Heyman that was sent in my Mets text chat that said, J.D. Martinez has received an offer from the Mets and the Angels, but is not really liking the financial offer, is basically what they said. In fact, I'll read it to you. The Angels and Mets bid for free agent DH J.D. Martinez, and while he likes both teams, apparently the offers were too low for his liking. This is what I'm reading in the shower. And I'm texting back my friend saying, what's the offer? Like, I'd be so curious to know, what are the Mets willing to pay J.D., and what is he kind of asking for? Within 30 seconds of that, I get the John Heyman tweet, J.D. Martinez to Mets, $12 million. So I guess we got the answer. And I think that's a number we used recently when talking about, hey, what would the Mets be willing to give J.D. Martinez with this 110% tax? Because if J.D.'s asking for $22 million, you could see how the Mets would say, even though maybe we don't care as much as fans, wow, $50 million for J.D. is too much. By paying him $12 million, just my quick math tells me, you're giving him about $27, $28 million, or at least he's costing $27, $28 million. But here's the truth. If J.D. Martinez goes 271, 893 OPS, 33 home runs, 103 RBIs, which were his numbers last year in 113 games, I think we'd all agree that's worth $28 million. Now, when you're getting to the numbers of 45 and 50, you could argue there is no season that would make those numbers worth it. But when you're in the high 20s, that's kind of like the typical amount of money a big slugger would make. And last year, and to my fellow New York Met fan, this has been a very weird offseason. An offseason that for most of us has been a disappointment. This was the move it felt like they needed to make. This was the move that drove me nuts that they weren't making. And we spent endless Ricos talking about it. It's not going to block playing time. This is what I screamed from the largest mountains. It won't block playing time. It'll give you a legitimate bat. It will improve this lineup. It doesn't hurt you in the future because you're not giving up any kind of draft capital. Make the move. All it takes is for Steve Cohen to write a check. And Steve Cohen wrote the check. 1 year, $12 million. If you factor in the tax, you're looking at about $26 or $27 million extra to your payroll. And now the New York Mets, for the first time in the DH era, have a DH. What a freaking concept. Now to Pete Hoffman. A year ago, Pete was screaming for J.D. Martinez. The Mets did not sign him. He ended up having that great year in L.A. You are not as high on bringing J.D. Martinez in this season, but a long offseason and a long spring training may change your views. How are you feeling now that your guy's a Met?
I just want to first pat myself on the back and congratulate myself because I think if I didn't triple down and lay out such a bad lineup, this would never have happened. I presented David Stearns and the crew the worst possible lineup of all time when they go, wow, we really are effed. We need help. get JD Martinez. Now, seriously, though, listen, it's a little bit later in his career. I'm fine with it. I'm happy. He's finally here. It's about time. We finally have a legitimate DH, which we've been begging for. I think, ultimately, they were playing coy about the whole fact this whole spring that they were going to give Vientos and Beatty all the opportunities in the world. They're just not good enough, and this lineup was not good enough. JD Martinez solidifies that, and they got him at their price.
Well, so let's get to that price aspect of it, because this is the first offseason of David Stearns, and we're learning about him. You know, we're learning about what makes David Stearns tick, how he acts in free agency, the kinds of moves he's going to make. Like, he's teaching us about him. And I wouldn't use his days in Milwaukee as much of an example, because it's a completely different situation. You don't have the billionaire owner behind you. You don't have the assets that you have in New York. This offseason featured a quick strike on Luis Severino, which is a move I really liked, and then a lot of patience when it came to the rest of the rotation. A trade for Adrian Hauser and Tyrone Taylor. I don't want to exclude him. A signing of Sean Manaea. An aggressive pursuit of Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who I'm not going to bash right now on the Rico. I don't think it's fair after one start. I think we'd be going nuts if he had one bad start for the Mets. Not nuts at him, but nuts at, really, we're going to judge the guy after one bad start? But they were super aggressive going after him. But you kind of got the sense, as we tried to figure out who and what David Stearns is, was he sitting back saying, I'm going to wait for my price? Am I going to just wait back for my price? And then if it kind of gets into that area that we're good with, we'll make the move. So one thing David Stern, can I reveal something David Stearns told me? Am I allowed to now that they signed JD Martinez? It was supposed to be confidential.
Confidential if it never happens. Now it happened, you could say whatever you want.
Well, I presented why I wanted JD Martinez to Mr. David Stearns. I did. And he was very open-minded and talked about the pluses and the negatives of a pursuit like that. And one of the negatives was the money. One of the negatives is, hey, you know, it's a 110% tax. Can you pay the guy, you know, $50 million, which it could have been if they were in the 20s. But one of the aspects of JD Martinez was the battle between opportunity for young players and trying to win, in which I made the case, you're not taking away at-bats for young players. That was my most, that made me feel best being able to say that to him. Like, you're not. What are you talking about? And look, I think that JD Martinez is a guy that brings you the ability to hit, brings you the ability to make this lineup stronger, brings you that kind of established bat, and also protects Mark Vientos and Brett Beatty, because the opportunity is going to be there. Now, what we've noticed over the last few weeks of spring training is that Brett Beatty's gotten hot, right? He's hit a couple of home runs, and he's looked better. Over the course of a long regular season, there are going to be ebbs and flows in the way these young players play. And there's going to be room to play all of them. Like JD Martinez, I'll use him as an example. Last year, he played 113 games. Now, in fairness, he had two DL stints or IL stints. So it wasn't giving him a lot of off days. And I also understand that argument of JD Martinez isn't coming here to play part-time. And I get that. I wouldn't want him to play part-time. But JD Martinez, at his age, is a guy that's probably going to miss time. He's going to be 37 in the middle of August. If you look at his track record, you know, he's had some full seasons, but the older you get, the more time you're going to miss, and that's going to allow opportunities for Mark Vientos to designated hit. It's going to allow opportunities for Mark Vientos to play first base and Pete Alonso designated hits. And I think if you treat third base like a platoon, which it probably should be, where Brett Beatty's going to play 80% of the time because he's going to face every righty, Mark Vientos should face every single lefty until Brett Beatty hits lefty so much that you have to play him. Then Mark Vientos won't be a platoon player with Brett Beatty. But one of the concerns I know the Mets had was if JD Martinez comes here, he has to play every single day. And he should play every single day if he's that productive. But I always believe at-bats will take care of themselves. If guys hit, it will take care of themselves. Don't overthink it. Guys get hurt. Guys have to miss time. And that will allow everybody to get plenty of at-bats. So I never looked at JD Martinez or any DH they added as, and I know the Mets debated it, as taking away at-bats from younger players. I never thought it was going to be that big of a thing. and that big of a risk. I believe by the end of this season, we're going to know if Mark Vientos is an everyday player. We're going to know if Brett Beatty is an everyday player. And now what the Mets are able to do by adding this kind of bat to the lineup is that lineup game we've played recently where Hoff gives a lineup and everybody yells at him. I give a lineup. We all kind of email and voicemail lineups. All of a sudden, that lineup is far different now. And that's already been going through my brain. It's already been popping into my brain. Like, what do I want to do? Because one of the points I made to you, Pete, was I want Francisco Alvarez batting cleanup. Throw him right in the middle of the mix. I don't know if I can do that anymore. Because now I got J.D. Martinez and his 33 home runs from last year and 103 RBIs. I may have to hit hidden cleanup. But I guess what I would do is I would move everybody down one slot. And that means you're looking at a lineup. And this is based on the lineups I've thrown out over the last few days. But now we can throw J.D. in it. Is Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, J.D. Martinez, Francisco Alvarez, 5, Jeff McNeil, 6, Starling Marte, 7, Brett Beatty, 8, Harrison Bader, 9. That feels like a different lineup. That feels like completely different than all of the lineups we've talked about where everybody from Alvarez, McNeil, Marte move up that one slot because now you've got yourself that real monster bat. Now, I don't want to be naive, okay? Because one of the other concerns the Mets could have had, potentially had, wink, wink, is that he's 36 years old. When does he hit the wall? We thought 2 years ago he hit the wall. We talked about it at the trade deadline in 2022. Think about it. J.D. Martinez has monster years in 18, monster year in 19, has a horrendous year in 2020 that we're all willing to throw out because it's 2020. He comes back in 2021, has a really solid year, not as good as those previous years, but a very good solid bounce back year. And then in 2022 with the Red Sox, he took a major step back. His OPS dropped below 800, first time in like a decade, excluding the pandemic season, and he lost all his power. J.D. Martinez hit 16 home runs in 140 games in 2022. And while I still wanted the Mets to trade for him at the deadline, there were more concerns about him. He wasn't the same J.D. Martinez as a year earlier or 4 years earlier. And so that performance made you think, hey, maybe he's on the decline. And I remember when we talked about this on the Rico at the trade deadline, I think you and I were on the same page of, hey, I'm willing to take the risk. I'm willing to risk J.D. Martinez would be almost kind of sparked by getting into a pennant race in 2022. Now, that never happened. The Mets never traded for him, nor did the Red Sox ever trade him. And that's what he had going into last year's offseason. So when you, Pete, were, hey, bring him in, I was more, yeah, I'm not sure what he has left. But last year, he was so good and had such a renaissance year, his best statistical season since prior to the pandemic. He hit 33 home runs. He drove in over 100 runs. Now, he wasn't a very good lineup in LA, no doubt, but as good as the lineup is, you still have to go out there and perform, and he did. That certainly moved me back into the camp of, hey, he's got something left. Hey, J.D. Martinez at 36 years old can be a productive player. And so that's what we've seen from J.D. Martinez over the last couple of years. The concern of, hey, is he on the decline in 2022 to the bounce back of 2023 to me being genuinely excited that they've added him for 2024.
Well, here's the other thing that you got to think about, right? Clearly, J.D. showed that he could play. He's going to miss games. That's fine. I think it just shows like the concern that we have for a guy like Starling Marte, right? Is that real concern there from just us, or is there real concern there from the management? Also, it shows you that you can bounce back. If there's no concern, it just shows you that it doesn't make a difference. Like, some of these injuries, they're going to hinder for a couple years. But in the end, if a guy's talented, if a guy can hit, he can hit. That's what J.D. Martinez does. He freaking hits, dude. And, yeah, I was – all about trading for him in 2022. It's like destiny. It was destiny.
It's destiny. By the way, speaking of the financials, and this is what happens when you do an instant reaction. I want to thank Shohei Ohtani right now. I want to say thank you to Shohei Ohtani because according to Andy Martino, the New York Mets deal for J.D. Martinez is a little bit different than maybe what we think. He is making $4.5 million this year. He's making $4.5 million this year. And then, according to Andy, we'll get $1.5 million a year deferred between 2034 and 2038. So they did a heavily deferred contract, which will bring down the luxury tax CBT for the season. Now, what does that number look like? I don't know. That was what was so confusing about the Ohtani thing, but clearly the Mets functioning that deal in that kind of way. And I know we still make fun of the Bobby Bonilla thing, which is the most overrated, we shouldn't even mock it thing in the history of baseball. But this is the Mets playing with the financials right now, as inspired by what the Dodgers did with Ohtani, obviously on a much lower level. He's making $4.5 million this year, and then a deferral of $1.5 million in the mid-2030s.
All right, so that means to me, which is shocking when I hear something like that for J.D. Martinez, making $4 million this year, that means he wants to play here. That means he chose the Mets. It's not like he's like, I could have gone anywhere. I'll take the most money. He chose to come to New York.
I think he did, but it also sounds like the only teams that were really bidding on him at this point were the New York Mets and the Anaheim Angels. And quite frankly, that's a fight I feel comfortable in. I mean, if we were bidding against, you know, and I know these teams wouldn't be interested, but just for the sake of this, Atlanta or the Yankees, or going back to the Dodgers or teams like that, I'm not sure if he would want, quote-unquote, to be a Met. But I think when you look at the other options that were out there, specifically if it was just the Angels, yeah, he wanted to be here. I think that this works out for everybody. It works out for Steve Cohen from a financial standpoint, in which bringing him in does not cost as much as we had described and had thought, based on the 110% tax. And look, at the end of the day, especially when it comes to this tax, I do not care. I don't think anybody cares. Now, obviously, when you go over certain levels and your draft pick moves back a certain amount of slots, you lose international money. Yeah, I mean, obviously, from that standpoint, that's a negative. But we're already in that area where that stuff's gone. We're already in that tax where it doesn't matter, where it's literally just an amount of money that Steve Cohen has to pay. That's all it is. And for me, and for most people listening, we don't really care about that. We just want what's better for this team. And I feel better. I mean, I feel good about this team, or at least better about this team than most. I was even jotting it down last night, Pete. I was writing down my predictions for the season. We're going to have a Rico next week in which we do our MLB predictions. And I've done this every year for basically my entire life. I write down my MLB predictions long before I was even on the radio. And, you know, it's therapeutic. It's fun. At the end of the season, I make fun of myself how wrong I was. Sometimes I'll get things right. I'll feel good. And as I was writing it down last night and I got to the Mets, I said, all right, well, what's my number? And the number I settled on was 86 wins, which I think is higher than most Met fans think. And by the way, that's a number that probably gets you to the playoffs, or at least gets you right in the midst of a pennant race. J.D. Martinez improves this lineup significantly. Now, I don't know if that means I'm going to edit my win prediction and go even higher, but this lineup, and it still has the same concerns in terms of McNeil bouncing back and Marte bouncing back, and is Brett Beatty a major leaguer? Those are three things that still exist, no question about it. But all of a sudden, you've taken away a dead spot in this lineup, or at least it has been since the DH came to the National League. And another major question, because if Beatty's playing third base, your DH is either DJ Stewart or Mark Vientos, and you have no idea what you're getting from them. Put it this way, J.D. Martinez's worst season in the major leagues outside of the pandemic, you would probably take from Mark Vientos and DJ Stewart platooning. Think about that. Like, go back to 2022, the year we thought J.D. Martinez was kind of done. If Mark Vientos put up those numbers, and DJ Stewart as a platoon put up 274, 790 OPS, 16 home runs and 62 RBIs, you'd probably say, oh, okay, that's not bad. And that's J.D. Martinez's worst season outside of the pandemic. So they have taken this lineup by adding this one player and has made it significantly better. And then the other thing that's so difficult to calculate is Pete's finally got protection. Think about all the years Pete Alonso's been here and he's put up these massive numbers. And then start to think about who has been the guy mostly protecting Pete Alonso in the batting order. He has not had that much protection over the years, and now he's about to get it. And that's damn exciting. Let's go back to last year. Who protected Pete Alonso the most? He batted cleanup 129 times. You know who batted fifth the most times? You ready for the names? This will make you feel good. Daniel Vogelbach was the most, followed by Jeff McNeil, Brett Beatty, and Tommy Pham. That's a problem. He had Lindor late in the season protecting him, because late in the year they were hitting Alonso 3 and Lindor 4. So we did see a little bit of that towards the end of the season. But for the most part, those are the names we're talking about. We're talking about Vogelbach, McNeil, Beatty, and Pham as the guys that were protecting Pete Alonso. Does that sound ideal to anybody? Do you think J.D. Martinez, Pete's a little bit better protection?
I mean, a little better. I mean, this is a vastly improved. I mean, again, we talked about how we haven't had a real DH ever. And now it's freaking J.D. Martinez. Yeah, Daniel Vogelbach, get out of here, dude. We don't need that.
Go back to 2022 and ask the same question. Hey, who protected Pete Alonso? He batted cleanup 150 times. You ready for these answers? This is fun.
J.D. Davis.
The guy who did it, it was actually not J.D. Davis. J.D. Davis only did it 8 times. I'm not going to pick on him anymore. The guy who did it the most, though, isn't here anymore. The guy who did it the most was Eduardo Escobar. He did it 41 times. Jeff McNeil did it 39 times. Daniel Vogelbach, after the trade, did it mostly, did it 34 times. Mark Canna did it 18 times. Darren Ruff did it 11 times. So over the last 2 years, think about those guys that have been protecting Pete Alonso. You want to go back a year earlier? This is a fun game. Who protected Pete Alonso in 2021? You ready for these answers? Dominic Smith did it the most times, 30 times. Michael Conforto did it 27 times. Javier Baez did it a bunch of times. He wasn't half bad. James McCann did it 19 times. Those are the last 3 years on the guys protecting Pete Alonso. That's pretty disappointing. Then you go back to 2020. Who protected Pete Alonso? Dominic Smith, Robinson Cano, Michael Conforto. This is his entire career we're talking about. His entire career. This is who was protecting him. You go back to his rookie season, you know, the year where he set the rookie home run record. Who protected him? Robinson Cano, Michael Conforto. Those are the two big names. Wilson Ramos did it a bunch of times, as well as Todd Frazier. So J.D. Martinez will provide, assuming he doesn't fall off a cliff. Obviously, that's the concern. That's where this podcast can be mocked down the road. If J.D. Martinez hits a wall at 36 and a half years old, but J.D. Martinez provides by far, it's not even close, the best protection Pete Alonso has ever had in his career. And I know there's no way to define that. And there's a lot of people that don't believe in protection. They believe that's not really a thing. I believe it's a thing. And I believe that J.D. Martinez offers something that Pete Alonso has never, ever had in his major league career. And that's another reason why it's exciting. So they haven't had a DH since the DH existed. Pete hasn't had protection. They've improved this lineup greatly. I feel good. Now, here's the question, though, Pete. You have been anti how this Met offseason went. Does this change your view on what this offseason was?
Well, it's funny because you said 86-game win total. I think I was around 83, 84. I don't think I'm going to jump J.D. Martinez 10 wins. Like that's not going to happen. But it gets you to that. It gets me a few more. It's a comfort level of this is a playoff team. Like this is now a better than a middle of the pack team. Because J.D. Martinez is that good, is a significant bat, is protection, everything you just laid out more. So, yeah, like, anybody who was really down on this team and going, wow, this team's going to suck. It's going to be another bad season. It's a throw punt season. At least I could say they're not punting. They were just waiting for someone to drop to their price range. They're still keeping their eye out for other people too, I guarantee.
Well, I think that the formula I laid out about a month ago, and we'll go into more detail on this as we get closer to opening day, was they're going to have to score runs to win this season. My optimism was based on have average starting pitching, have a really good bullpen, and score more runs than people think, this move certainly helps get to that area. We'll do a more full edition of the Rico over the weekend, but we wanted to get this out there. The instant reaction of the Mets, shockingly, I guess, signing J.D. Martinez to a one-year contract. It turns out it's $4.5 million this season with some heavy deferments in the 2030s. He'll make overall about $12.5 million from the New York Mets. Your thoughts and comments, of course, you can email us at therico@gmail.com, and you can leave us a voicemail at, let's see if I remember it, Pete, 772.
72.
772 or 722?
No, 725.
Oh, seven. I didn't even get that right. Okay. I got the rest of it. 725-222-8699.
Yes. Oh my God. Can I take control? 725-222-8699. By the way, while we were filming this, I was already getting phone calls. So get ready.
Good. We'll do a more fuller reaction to this. This is just our instant reaction to J.D. Martinez, the New York Met. Thank you for listening to this little pop-up edition of Rico Brogna.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Brogna podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.